I want to thank you for coming. I'd like to welcome you. I want to thank you so much for using our website, KalitaUBC.com. I'd like you to please invite others to seek truth, hope, and the life of the Holy Spirit here with us. I also encourage you to follow and feed our Facebook page, Kalita United Brethren in Christ Church. So, today, we want to start by remembering Jesus' death for our sin. Once a month, we remember his death in what we call communion. The effect of our sin is all around us today. And the love of God and his desire for us to be a family with him is also all around us today. So I want to encourage us to look for God and see God in everything. Not just this morning, but I want us to look for God and see God in everything. Jesus gave us instructions for his Lord's Supper, what we call communion. I chose the Message translation of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and I'm going to read to us verse 26 through 28. It says, "During the meal, Jesus took and blessed unleavened bread and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Taking the cup and thanking God for it, he gave it to them, 'Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, God's covenant, poured out for many people for the forgiveness of sins. Eat this and drink this in my memory.'" So let's do that today. Let's each of us take the unleavened bread and quietly, remembering Jesus, eat it as he asked us to. Now I'd like you to take the cup, remembering that Jesus died for you, and this is to remember his blood shed for you. Drink it as he asked us to. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we remember you at this time and in this way. Thank you. Seems so small for all you've done and are doing for us. Amen. Next, I'd like us to look into the book of Acts, seeking to discover this new life in the Spirit that Dr. Luke is writing about. Today is May 5th of 2020. Titled the message, Peter Reports to the Church, and this is the second installment of that. Our text is Acts chapter 11, verses 9 through 18. My outline ended up point number one, a God of chances. Point number two, a God who comes. Point number three, a God of changes. So, a God of chances, a God who comes, and a God of changes. Sometimes when I sit down to write one of these messages, I get what I call big-time ideas. Last week was like that. When I sat down and read that first passage, I was inspired by the authority of the church and encouraged to talk about prejudice in the church and concluded with salvation by grace and faith alone. All those are very big ideas to take on in 31 minutes and 12 seconds. So today, I'm going to try to read Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 and reading all the way to verse 18. Last week, we covered the first 9 verses of this, but it's all one story. And as I sit down to write this, I had the hope and the belief that there is one listening to this today that was not here with us last week when we covered the first 9 verses. I chose the NIV version of the Bible, and I'm going to do the best I can to read to you Acts 11, beginning at verse 1 and read to verse 18. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and you actually ate with them?" So starting at the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying and fell into a trance. I saw a vision. I saw something that looked like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners. It came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.'" So this is the text for this week, beginning at verse 9. The voice spoke to him from heaven a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me, "Have no hesitation about going with them." These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear at his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as it had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord Jesus had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I should stand in God's way? Then they heard this, there was no further objections, and praised God, saying, "So then even Gentiles God has granted repentance that leads to life." The end of our scripture for this morning. So Monday and Tuesday, I read that text in five different Bible translations, but I saw or heard nothing from the Spirit. So I read two Bible study notes on this, and then I read three commentary books on this text. Nothing. What does one do when the Spirit and the text don't provide one help? My outline normally has 9 points, and there was 9 verses, so today we'll take one verse and make it 1 point and do it one verse, 1 point at a time. A little different. So on my outline, Peter reports to the church, the second time we talked about this. Point number one, a God of chances. Chances. How many times did God show Peter the same thing? Do you remember? Why? Why did he do it that way? A on my outline, a voice spoke from heaven a second time. So if this was a normal year and it was May, I'd use probably a Chicago Cubs illustration of strike two on Peter. One could tell an honest lifetime fan of the Cubs when they immediately think, well, maybe next year, and with an honest hope deep in their heart that hope for a better day coming. Maybe next year. I wonder who's listening to this who had these things on their January goals for 2020. to just survive COVID-19 and to have a world economy in 2021. Some days, hope is all one has. A hope to get through COVID alive. A hope that when we try to restart, the world will have an economy. It's not just the U.S., it's the whole world, and many parts of the world suffering more than we are. So, Peter's on strike two. The Spirit said, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." The hope of this truth is that God does not make junk. Don't call anything impure that God has made clean. God doesn't make junk. He makes great, perfect, clean things. The Spirit said, "Don't call anything impure that God has made clean." That God has made clean. Have you seen any of the environmental photos of the air quality after the weeks of government shutdowns? Have you seen LA or New York? Maybe the satellite photos of India or Italy? They're remarkably different after the global governmental shutdowns. Why? Why do they look so much different? Is it because we stopped moving and driving and producing? Or is it because God created things to heal? See, I think we should look at it to see God, to look for God. The truth is, God created the environment to heal. He created our bodies to heal. There is hope to heal. God also provides hope for the healing of one's soul and the salvation of one's spirit through this Jesus Christ we're reading about today in Acts chapter 11. Be on my outline. This happened three times. This happened three times. So this is God's third pitch to Peter, and he hits it solid for a home run. Sometimes they say he hit it right on the screws. But when God gave him pitch number three, he smacked it. And the church wins. Acts 11:11, and when I look at 11:11, I think, four aces would be a great hand. I'm betting that right then, when those three men showed up at Caesarea and stopped at the house where Peter was staying and called out, that was the exact moment that the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter, which is point number C on my outline. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation. Can you hear the crowd cheering from the box seats in heaven? Go, Peter! Go! Go, Peter! Acts chapter 11, verse 12, the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them, and these six brothers went with me, and we entered right into this man's house. So this man's house, where are we? We're in the home of Cornelius, a Roman commanding officer. He is a model among men for his courage in battle, for his generosity to the people around him. He's a model for his love for his family and his love for his friends. Most important, a man who sought God, and he sought God with a humble heart, or from a humble heart, sought God in deep, honest prayer times. This is truly a man of integrity, a man to strive to live like. God only had to say it one time to this man. The Spirit told him, and there was absolutely no hesitation. So Peter took three strikes, and Cornelius hit it solid on the first pitch. God scores like the golf. The lowest score is his winner. So you don't want to take three chances like Peter. You want to be like Cornelius, set and jump on the first pitch God throws you. I'm thankful for God's mercy and his grace and his love. And sometimes I seem a little slow at getting my heart and my head into his grand drama of life. You too. So point number two on my outline, a God who comes. So point one, a God of chances. Point two, a God that comes. Think about that with me. I grew up in a world where you had to go. When you wanted to change the channel on the new thing that they called TV, someone had to go over and turn the dial. Not push a button, but walk across the room and turn the dial. When my grandchildren and I talk, and I tell them that if you wanted to call someone on the phone, you had to go to the phone. It was attached to the wall, and you had to stand there and talk on it. Honestly, I can remember when we got a long cord, and you could move around just a little bit, but you still had to stay 6 foot from the phone. When I tell my children and my grandchildren, it took me 10 years to watch all the episodes of Friends and Seinfeld, my grandchildren just get a blank look and say, "Well, Poppy, why didn't you just sit down and stream it and watch them all in a weekend?" See, our world will be different because of COVID-19. We will not go back to a black and white television that you had to walk across the room to turn the dial. We will not go back to a phone that was wired and hooked to the wall where you had to stand there, and the novelty was some people's homes wired in a voice box to leave them a message. We won't go back that. You see, we won't ever go back there. You see this? The truth is, the church will be different after COVID-19. The church will not be the same when COVID-19 subsides. Today, whatever day you choose, you can do church. Church has become an on-demand service. That's not going to go away. And the truth is, many people will continue to do church on demand, not on the schedule of a church in their building. Now, take that mindset and drop yourself into the text of this scripture. The mindset that things are never going to be the same again, things are going to change, things will be different. Take that mindset and drop into our scripture. Can you see that these two time frames are the same? You see, the Holy Spirit, Dr. Luke, are writing the Bible. Think about that. The Holy Spirit, Dr. Luke, Peter, and Cornelius are living a new normal. Their new normal became what we now know as the church. In Acts chapter 11, verse 13, Cornelius told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who they call Peter." A on my outline. God came in an angel's words. The NIV translates that he saw an angel of God clearly, an angel of God as real as his next door neighbor came in, it says in the Message translation. So Cornelius had an angel clearly walk in and stand in front of me, as real as my next door neighbor bringing me a May basket yesterday. An angel with an important message. Well, an angel of importance would bring this message, this would have been a high-ranking angel. How do you see that created being in your mind? So Cornelius has an angel standing in front of him. How do you see him? Body shining brighter than lightning? Robes shining clearer and more bright than a sunrise on a clear morning? I see him with a big sword. A Lord of the Rings Aragorn-like sword. Huge. When Cornelius got dressed for the day, his work dress was very impressive. A Roman officer would have very nice, shiny armor. He would have a dark crimson-red robe that kind of looks like a cape most of the day, but could be pulled around you as a robe if it got cool or it rained. He would have tall red plumage in his helmet, standing up tall, so that all of the Romans, when they looked for their commanding officer, they could clearly see the cock on top of his head and know which way their officer was leading him. He'd have a big sword on one side and a knife on the other, and probably another knife attached to his shin guards. But he would be a very impressive individual when you met him going to work in the morning. Have you ever met a SWAT team leader or a SEAL team leader, a person that's dressed in all their armor and equipment? Very impressive. In my life, it was Delta Force personnel. Those are the people that look like this that worked out of Fort Bragg in North Carolina, where I did. And when you met them on a runway to jump out of a jet with you, their equipment was much better and much different than what soldiers in the 82nd Airborne had. They had new Kevlar helmets with night vision. They had integrated communication systems, body armor that was much more advanced than anything we had. And they were pretty blinking impressive. Elbow pads, knee pads, knuckle pads on their gloves, and some of the coolest equipment. Cornelius would have been dressed like that. Impressive. Cornelius was a man with great authority and was under great authority. So Cornelius was a man with great authority and under great authority. Orders were obeyed immediately in the Roman army. Immediate action was taken. So when we read Acts chapter 11, verse 14, when the angel says, "Go get Simon Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and your whole household will be saved." The end. Think that through with me. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. This angel, I see him bright as lightning, said, if you get Peter, he will bring you a message, and through that message, you and your whole household will receive eternal salvation and personal intimate relationship with the living God. Wow. Be on our outline. God comes through a human's message. God comes through a human's message. So God will use our friend Strike 3 Peter to bring a message that will save all of them. That is God's love and grace and hope for any of us. God's love and grace and hope for any of us comes through Peter's message. Peter's vision was a message, and its message was cool. A sheet let down with all these critters on it. Cornelius is an angel. Well, it's very cool. But God reaching out and coming to these people is way, way over the top cool. So the vision of the animals on the sheep, that's pretty cool. An angel, oh, that's really cool. But God reaching out and coming to these people, that's way over the top. God comes to people in many forms in that day and now. The most common today is through people. And we have a leg up on them in Acts in that those people were writing the Bible, but we have it and we can read it. I don't know if you think about that when you sit down for your morning Bible reading, that these guys didn't have a Bible. And I regularly read at least 5 translations of the Bible in a day. Think about that. My point is, God loves His creation. God is over the top in love with His creation. God comes to humans like He did in the Garden of Eden. He comes to have relationship with Him. So God comes so that we humans could have a personal relationship with Him. To add that point, God is a creator. The first thing He wanted us to know is He is a creator. Therefore, He will create ways of reaching His goal of relationship with us. He will not do it the same way all the time. So when we're facing COVID-19 and I ask you to look for God and see God, God is being creative in COVID-19. His goal? Love relationship with Him. So drop with me into Acts chapter 11, verse 15. Peter said, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as He had come on us in the beginning." The end. See on my outline. God's Holy Spirit comes. God's Holy Spirit comes. His Holy Spirit comes when He wants to and how He wants to. The hard thing about the Holy Spirit for us is that it will always be spiritual. And that's very different. It won't be like that sheet with the animals that Peter saw. It won't be like the angel that Cornelius saw. When the Holy Spirit comes, it will be invisible and spiritual. And that's really different. In Acts chapter 11, verse 16, "Then I remembered what the Lord had said. Jesus said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" The end. It is good to remember what Jesus and the Bible said to us. It's good to remember that. The Holy Spirit will help us do this. He will come when we need Him. So, point number 3 on my outline. 1 was God of chances. 2, God who comes. 3, a God of changes. A God of chances, a God who comes, and finally, a God of changes. Let me make myself very clear, perfectly clear. God never changes. God never changes. To put it simply, He doesn't need to. He's perfect. Simply put, God's creation needs changes. It needs a lot of help. So God is constantly adjusting things in His creation. COVID-19 is a major adjustment. COVID-19, the whole world will be different because of this. That's a major adjustment. And right now, it's soon to say if it's for the better or for worse. We just have to wait and see. But make no mistake, COVID-19 is a major adjustment God allowed into his creation. The fact of COVID-19 is itself is changing. When it was first DNA coded in China, it had a single DNA gene code. But this week I've heard that now they have found over 40 new strains of gene codes of COVID-19. And there will soon be more of them. This virus is not staying the same. It is changing. And that's one of the things that makes it so difficult to combat. So in our scripture today, the change of God's gift is most definitely for their better. For these people, it was for the better. The truth is, God gives us the same choice they had. God gives each one of us the same choice that Peter, Cornelius, and his friends had. One of our goals for 2020 is to try to bring glory to Jesus Christ. That's one of the things before we separated our ways to do church like this, we agreed was one of our goals is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Another goal is to try to lead people into repentance. Lead people into repentance. And prayer is our third goal. And those are not in priority order, there's just the three goals. In Acts 11:17, Peter said, "So God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ." So God's gift, believing in Jesus Christ. A on my outline. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ changes one. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ changes one. And I underline believing. God gave them the same gift he gave us. His gift of believing in Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Believing is a gift given to us by God. In Acts 11:17, Peter said, "So, who was I to think I could stand in God's way?" This week, as we're reading through the Bible together in our pattern, we read Job chapter 36. I liked the Message translation of Job chapter 36, verses 9 and 10. It says, God tells them where they've gone wrong. God shows them their pride that caused their trouble. He forces them to heed his warning, tells them they must repent of their bad life. Think about it. Does that fit our COVID-19 experience? That maybe God is telling us where we went wrong and is showing us the problem of our pride that caused us problems and is warning them they must repent of their bad life. And in Job chapter 36, I also like verse 16. "Oh, Job, don't you see how God's wooing you from the jaws of danger? How he's drawing you into wide open places, inviting you to feast at a table laden with blessings?" Think about that. What if God is wooing you and I out of the jaws of danger? What if he is drawing us into wide open spaces where social distancing will be no problem? Inviting us to feast with him at a table that's laden with great blessings. What if we look for him? What if we see him in all of this? Why wouldn't that come true for you and I? If we drop back into Acts 11, verse 18, our last verse, "When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. The end. God granted God's gift of repentance that leads to life. It is biblically obviously clear that God's repentance leads us into life. B on our outline. Hearing the truth changes one's objections to praising God. Hearing the truth changes one's objections to praising God. And I wrote down hearing. This would be a good thing for us to hear also. What if we went from voicing our objections about this COVID-19 event and we went into praising God in the midst of it? The NIV Reader's Version of Acts 11:18 reads like this. When they heard this, they didn't object anymore. They praised God. They said, so then God allowed even those who aren't Jews to turn away from their sins and live. See on our outline. God allows us to turn away from our sins and live. God allows us to turn away from our sins and live. So I underlined turn. So in this final point, hearing, believing, turning, they call this repentance. God really likes it when someone does this. God really likes this in one's life. So one of our goals for 2020 is to bring glory to Jesus. What if we were the people who praised God in the middle of this big COVID-19 mess? Would that bring glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord? When people are focused on the problem and they're looking at the consequences of sin, what if we were the people who were praising God for the Jesus that we thought of first thing, the Jesus who gave his life so that many could be forgiven for their sins? Would that bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord? When people ask why we're acting different, we could give Jesus' resurrection the credit and the glory for our lives. Another of our goals is to try to lead people into repentance. Did you notice verse 18? That was the point of Peter's conclusion to these people, and their conclusion after they heard his story, was to lead people into repentance. The circumcised Jews in Jerusalem repented of their judgment. The Gentiles, Cornelius and his friends, repented into life. What if we lead by demonstration? What if we demonstrate we turn from our sin? What if we lead by change, by changed lives? Prayer is our goal. I had it as our third goal. Transforming the way we pray transforms who we are. So in this COVID-19 event, transforming the way we have always prayed will transform us. All true prayer exists for the glory of God. What if our prayer was to bring glory to God, not cry about the circumstances we're in? Prayer is based in the worship of God. What if our prayer life, privately, corporately, day by day, moment by moment, expressed in front of people, was a worship of the God of creation we see so beautifully in the springtime around here? Prayer is focused on the face of God, not looking at the mess, but looking to see the face of God in that sunrise, the face of God as that cloud dances across the sky. The face of God in the glory of the wind and the wonder of the plants. Prayer is shaped by the Word of God. Prayer is shaped by the Word of God. What if our prayer life was changed each day because of the different parts of the Bible we read? What if the day we read the Gospel, our prayers that day are shaped by the Gospel? What if the day we read on prophecy, our prayer was faced with the fact and shaped by the Word of God in prophecy? Or what about the wisdom books? What if the day we read about the wisdom of God in the Bible, our prayer life was shaped by that day? Prayer is inspired by the Spirit of God. The Spirit will come to those who honestly, wholeheartedly, like Cornelius and his family and friends, who sought God. And prayer inspired by the Spirit of God is what we're supposed to be living out in the church today. Prayer is offered through the Son of God. Now, this pattern many people have. They'll close a salutary prayer within Jesus' name. But it's really more than just saying his name. It is offered through that sacrifice we began with today. His body, his blood. And prayer is aimed for the will of God. Prayer is aimed for the will of God. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it was not my will, sir, but your will be done. That is different than the way most people pray. What if our prayer was aimed at our lives expressing the will of God? And finally, what if prayer is experienced by the true children of God? Not just words thrown up, but a true experience of God's Word, God's Spirit in us and through us. So let's look for God. Let's see God in everything. And let's pray together right now. Lord God, thank you for the 66 books of your Bible. Thank you for all the different authors who wrote them. Most of all, I am deeply thankful for your Holy Spirit sitting alongside of some of those in the Old Testament and living through some of those in the New Testament who penned these words for us. So this morning, we gather in love and remembrance of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our soon coming King. And Father, we worship you, your Son, and your Spirit. And we ask you to humbly help us, lead us, and guide us into repentance, into prayer, into a way that our lives bring you glory and honor in the middle of this big mess we call COVID-19. May our lives be a testimony of your great love, your great mercy, your amazing grace, and your continual changing of your creation to be formed into the single goal of looking just exactly like Jesus. It's his life and his name we pray in. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Of your presence, let us experience.